Good hello. A quick note about today's podcast. Sorry it is so late. Again, if anybody cares about that, I've just been struggling to keep various parts of my life afloat. But today, we talked to Melissa Huevara, who is an El Salvadoran artist currently living in Colombia. She is a friend of our former guests, Ernesto Bautista and Ileana. And Melissa is not as comfortable with her English as Ernesto. So we invited Ileana on to translate her answers for us. So that is what you'll be hearing today, is bits of Melissa speaking for context, and then Ileana translating them for us. And in the coming weeks, I will also upload a bilingual version of the podcast that includes less of Ileana and more of just Melissa speaking for people unlike me that can understand Spanish. Thank you and enjoy the show.
Ileana beat Brandon. Where is Brandon?
I don't know. He said he was good.
Hi, Ileana.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Sorry, I'm still getting my speakers set up. Sound.
I had an interesting situation where my LaCroix tab, the tab didn't break the middle part. And so, I jammed it down with my thumb and I nearly killed myself. But luckily my nail caught it. So it sliced off a part of my nail. And then the tab went into there. And at first I was like, oh no, I'm going to choke or something. But then I realized that they literally developed the tabs on these so that you won't die if you swallow one. They have holes in them.
Hola, Meli.
Hola, ¿qué tal?
Oh, yeah. So how do you guys want to do this? Are you able to, I guess we should keep the question short, Ileana. I don't know if you can interpret while listening or.
I think I can work it out. I think the most important would be to have a space where the question can be clear. And okay. Then.
Oh, yeah. You can ask us to clarify, too.
Okay. But. Entonces, Meli, ¿te quieres presentar así informalmente antes del podcast? Pues yo creo que la idea va a ser un poco como que digan las preguntas y pues no sé si quieras que las traduzca o como que si te sientes segura con eso o qué piensas, cómo te sientes.
Sí, creo que en tu caso te preguntaría si no termino de entender algo.
Ok.
Ajá, sí, para tener como la pregunta así súper clara.
Ok.
Y ¿sí? Con la presentación no sé qué quieres hablar.
So, I was asking her if I would need to translate every question or not, but she told me if she needs clarification, she will ask me.
Okay.
So I guess, yeah.
Well, first, thank you for coming on. I don't know where we wanted to start. Brandon, do you have a starting point in mind? Because I know you spend a lot of time.
Yeah. Geez. Well, you can go ahead and go first. Let me gather my thoughts. I guess we can just talk about tú vives ahora en El Salvador?
No. In Colombia.
Oh, okay.
So
I thought I read somewhere that you were from El Salvador that you've lived in Salvador.
I think it's in her Instagram profile.
Oh, okay. Is that correct, Ileana? Or actually, I forgot. You can understand us.
Yeah.
We've never done this before with a translator.
tú viviste en El Salvador antes o?
Sí, o sea, yo he vivido, o sea, viví toda mi vida, nací allá.
Yes, I lived all my life in El Salvador until 2019 when I moved to Colombia.
Mm-hmm. Oh, what brought you to Colombia?
Perdón?
What does something in particular bring you to Colombia? Because I know a lot of your work seemed to be about the history of El Salvador and everything.
Pues, yo vengo acá.
I came to Colombia because of a grant from a foundation called Flora, and a curator whose name is José Roca. So Flora was like the only institution who had grants for a long period of time, in this case, 10 months. So it was a whole different like context and experience because I had done like trips to Colombia, but they were like 3 months the longest. But this also was like kind of a process of getting out of the country from El Salvador due to like looking for a better mental health state and emotional wellness, to put it somehow.
Has a being Colombia affected your work then? Are you still focused on the history of El Salvador at all, or are you looking to expand more past that?
Creo que sienten que se relacionaban, sobre todo, bueno, yo vengo.
So Colombia and El Salvador, they're kind of share some things. Like in this case, it would be the immigration context, because not only in El Salvador or in Colombia, but like in whole Latin America, there's like a migration situation. It's just like in every country can be from like a different direction.
Hmm.
Yeah, so in 2019, I think it was like the highest point of immigration between Venezuela and Colombia, like from Venezuela to Colombia. So I thought like the border was like a very significant space. And also there were like caravans, sort of the same thing that was going on from Central America towards North America.
I was just going to ask, I mean, if the work you're doing is related to the immigration, the caravans now?
I think the immigration as a topic has been more present in collective work. But in my personal work, I would say the territory also like matter. The materials, the land. The land from the spaces in the borders, like from their symbolism, mm-hmm. have been important to like my work.
And what sort of work have you been doing? Because we were watching, I do want to ask about the older work too, but we've been watching your videos on Vimeo, which cover like more like, you had the one where you spread out the crosswalk, and you work a lot with bones and dirt and stuff, and you mentioned the land at the border. Is like, what sort of materials are you working with these days? What sort of projects are you doing now?
So I would need to give a little bit of context here. So I work with pottery. So in my process of developing pottery, I had to understand the properties of the material and also the symbolic charge or load that it holds. I'm sorry, this is long as well, but the materials and from this lens, like all the symbolic meaning is related to the location, the territory, the part they are taking from, what is going on in that territory, in those spaces. And I like to bring that material as evidence and also to acknowledge like certain topics I would like to point, if it's migration, if it's death, you know, or absences as well. So I like to use the materials to get to a very concrete point, a clear point. And I like to relate the ideas to something, like to something, yeah, very clear, because also every single like material in pottery is in us when we talk about like minerals or chemical components. Everything that pottery has is also in us.
Sí, de alguna forma, así todas estas ideas que pueden ser muy abstractas dentro del arte se relacionan directamente con nosotros y con el cuerpo. O sea, para mí esta cuestión de la tangible y del cuerpo es muy importante.
Hmm. I noticed a lot of your art.
You didn't translate the last one.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yes, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
No, I was like, wait, Jennifer speaks Spanish now?
Like, I do not. I'm very stupid Southern... Southern education, no language. And then in high school, I took Latin. My kid is learning Spanish, though.
That's good.
The next translator for this podcast.
Yeah.
But so all these abstract ideas in art can be directly related to us and our bodies. And I like to have this relationship between the tangible elements and the body.
Sorry.
¿Está bien, Melissa?
Mm-hmm.
¿Sí?
Sí.
Okay.
What were you asking, Jennifer?
I was just going to ask. I looked at a lot of her, a lot, because she's talking about the pottery. I looked at a lot of it. And I know that Brandon, when we were discussing her work, that we talked about, that a lot of her work dealt with elements of death, much like Ernesto. And I really like point, there was one that I really liked where it was the 12% of body weight. That wasn't really, I guess it was more of like an egg.
Oh, exhibit. The La Tierra.
Yeah, the bone weight. The dust to dust. And I just wondered, like, you know, when you're looking at something like death, you know, how do you bring that element when you're creating like visual art, especially when you're working with things like pottery?
So she misses that direction between your perfectly clear question, but how to relate it to the pottery, like what direction are you trying to go to with that question?
You're asking about her work, like en todo, right? Not just the pottery, like death in her art, like in her whole body of work. Like, what is the significance of, like, what's the significance of death? Like, how does she?
Yeah, pero como sí, como en general, ¿no?
Yeah, in general, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Ok, creo que creo que entendemos que El Salvador es un contexto violento, es un contexto donde la muerte está muy presente dentro de la realidad.
El Salvador has a very violent context where death is always present. But there is also like a personal approximation to this, because there has been events in my personal history. So, for example, my cousins were killed in the beginning of the gangs in El Salvador. My grandma died because of a lost bullet. So there have been events very close to me, violent events regarding gangs, police encounters, and also I come from an evangelic context in which my grandma always used to say that the only thing we had for granted was death.
Oh, wow.
Siempre fue un imaginario ahí, ¿no? Y para mí,
So this imaginarium has always been there And for me, no one is really prepared to confront with death. Even when you think too much about it, no one really knows what happened when someone dies.
Entonces, para mí, mi proceso, o sea, mis piezas de mi proceso de arte ha estado enmarcado en un proceso personal también. Y eso fue algo que entendí.
So my process in art has been framed in a personal process that I discovered after leaving El Salvador, because I work with death, so me, I, Melissa, can prepare for death, not only mine, but from people I love, and also just the possibility of death, because it's pretty latent, or latent.
Does it work? Do you feel better about death?
So my process cannot be separated. My art process and my personal process cannot be separated.
I'm scared of death, and it's hard for me to process also.
I know we were talking earlier. We were curious, how did you start making the work that you make? Because it's not... I feel like when you're younger, you can, when you start making art, it's drawing on paper or music, but your work is more conceptual. How did you start working in that medium?
Creo que ese sí fue un trabajo colectivo, porque dentro de la universidad.
Well, I would say it was collective work because the career I studied at university, it was more technical. But it was because of a group of people, a collective in between 2008 and 2009.
El objetivo del colectivo era...
So in this collective, the objective was to share knowledge, to make research about artists we like, to develop work ideas, and it was also influenced by a dynamic in a project called La Espora with an artist from Nicaragua, in which we understood you can bring a personal idea, but when you discuss it with more people, you can definitely take it to the other level. So I can have an idea and I can discuss it, and by discussing it with other people, the ideas expand and there can change. And that was the moment where I actually saw the possibilities in conceptual art.
Sí, también lo poético que puede ser, ¿no?
And also how poetic it can be, the simplicity, because I do think that simplicity is poetic and it has a beautiful potential.
What is the potential you're generally reaching for? Like, what are you hoping the audience feels or does after interacting with your work? Because you seem to take on a lot of like big political things. Like, are you hoping to instigate action of some sort, or?
Creo que
So I think understanding that art won't change the world, it's a very good starting point.
Sin embargo,
yeah.
Creo que la interacción específica dentro de la singularidad que puede haber en una persona, sí puede detonar cosas. O sea, no, la idea no es generar para mí.
Nonetheless, a specific interaction within a singularity can drive things, can more to generate questions than to bring answers. Because even though these questions probably won't be able to be set into the macros of the world, it has more potential to go to the micro. And within the systems of oppression, where more power comes in a scene is within these micro spaces and macro dynamics. So I'd say, like, to bring something to someone, to drive someone from one thing to another and to another, this would be the potential of what I can do with art. And that's something that I feel more honest as well. For me, as a human, as a mortal, because, like, on our own, we can do things. It would be very difficult. So I would say it's more of a collective work.
Mm. I mean, some of the stuff you did seems to be an act of protest, too. I mentioned earlier, the crosswalk that was expanded over an entire block, so people had the entire block to walk around the street.
Paralelismo.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And then there was the one about the massacre in El Salvador, where you transported the trucks loads of dirt to, I forget where that was going to.
The National Palace, right?
Yeah, I think that sounds right. When your artwork sort of connects with protesting, do you have a different intention there, a different goal there than some of your other work, some of your pottery and everything? Does that make sense?
Yo creo que esencialmente como el propósito no es diferente. En realidad siempre es un gesto, ¿no? Porque digamos, en paralelismo son líneas. O sea, si lo vemos como en una cuestión muy...
I would say the purpose is not different. It's just more like a gesture. For example, in paralelismo, those are lines, if we go to the essential. Those are lines in the street. I'm not adding more symbolism to the crosswalk, but I'm expanding it with a symbolic load of the materials. So people who are walking through it, they can generate their own symbolism.
También con lo de la tierra de la masacre, es igual, o sea, esencialmente es trasladar una tierra hacia otro lugar. Las cargas simbólicas son más del contexto como tal, y ya creo que en ese sentido trabajar en el...
For example, in Yunque y Martillo, where I work with the land, dust from the massacre, if we go to the essentials, it would be like taking this dust, land, to another place. But if we think about the symbolism behind that, that is more giving by the context.
Eso no significa que, digamos, yo no esté consciente de lo que estoy moviendo, de los elementos que estoy moviendo. Sin embargo, en un contexto público, ese gesto que yo estoy haciendo está compitiendo.
So this doesn't mean that I'm not aware about the elements, but in a public space, my gesture, it competes with lots of other gestures in this public space. So basically, you deliver a gesture, but you cannot control what's going to happen with it. So this would be like the starting point, like in both things, like whether is it an object in an exhibit, but when you have these gestures in the public space, the only thing that happens is like it adds more layers. Like, so there's the space, there's the people and these elements. So it's more layers and more layers and more layers. And like the result or a conclusion, it won't be up to me.
So I have a question, and this is a cultural question, because you use human bones in some of your work, and I wonder how that is how that's perceived by an audience. In I think in America, if you were to use that, use human remains, some people might take offense to that. But I think a lot of the people who would do that in America are typically personally very far removed from actual like that type of violent reality that that existed in El Salvador during the 12 years of their civil war. When you use the human remains, the bones, is there a backlash at all when people see that, or are they used to death, you know, like where they don't place that type of significance on that?
Creo que la gente, creo que depende del contexto donde viene la gente. Porque si hay una capa religiosa que realmente yo no...
I think it depends on the people's context. I mean, there's a religious layer, but like maybe exaggerating, there have been like 5 people from this religious context that have rejected it.
Aparte de eso, las demás personas que han visto las piezas es más un sentido de lo que siento yo es un sentido de extrañeza y de curiosidad hasta cierto punto, porque al final son partes del cuerpo, o sea, son parte de lo que todos tenemos. Entonces creo que hay un sentido de una idea de
curiosidad. Besides that, the people who have seen the pieces, they are more likely to have this feeling or perception of rarity and curiosity because they are body parts and we all have them. So even so, there is curiosity, but not so much about death. It's like difficult to take that to a deeper layer, to really have people go from curiosity to think about death. And I also think it's about the context, because in Central America, this relationship to death, it's kind of a bit lost if we compare it to Mexico or Bolivia, if we want to talk about like human remains, where we could say that they are like normalized.
Mm.
Is that context, is that related to like we were talking about earlier, the civil wars and the mass graves and all these things?
Creo que viene más del miedo y la represión. Y como de una desconexión también del cuerpo y de los procesos que son parte de la vida, pues. Y debo decir, lo siento, Ileana, que te voy a hacer un poquito más largo.
I would say it comes more from like out of fear and repression and from this disconnection from the body and the processes that are part of life. And also the religious context, maybe because I come from a very religious context, but I think this idea of transcending or transcendence makes like the body to be seen as a passage of like a waiting room, because you're looking for something else, maybe a life after death. So I think it has to do with these ideas that go beyond the body. Also, history, it's full of full and framed within death or by death. There has always been deaths and things like that going on. But I think these religious ideas about transcendence, they have changed the understanding. And this has produced some kind of rejection toward the ideas of the body.
I noticed that you use dirt and soil a lot in your work as well. Is there a religious significance to that as well? The way that you relate land and soil to like to the body?
I was going to ask that.
Yes, I think the starting point was this. We come from dust, so we will go back to dust. And it would not only be to religion, but also it is within the burial processes. For example, in El Salvador, when you die, they bury you. So the soil absorbs your remains, and it's like a cycle. So then you can also influence the soil.
Wow, I didn't know. That's fascinating. Is there a, I guess, is religion, Christianity, it's particular, is that politicized at all in El Salvador now? When I was reading about the Civil War, a lot of particularly religious victims came up. I think the Archbishop Oscar Ramirez and a couple of like American nuns. That's the American narrative of it. But is Christianity kind of like, is there a political context to that in El Salvador that might be different from how we view it because of that civil war, or is it has it not changed?
So the difference is that political presence relies on the Catholic Church, but for example, the Protestant Church would be represented by the evangelics, who are passive, and I come from an evangelic context, so I could say I come from passivity. So those who have a more defined line in or a political thought are the Catholics, and the evangelics have always stayed like in line with things, so they just accept anything.
Yes. Oh my God. that is my bread and butter. I write about religion. I'm a former Pentecostal evangelical, so it is very intense the way they just, you know, accept whatever.
They defer to authority, would you say?
Absolutely. I mean, they, but they're also just almost illiterate, whereas I feel like almost illiterate to the Bible. So it's just like the power of whatever they're taught initially, sometimes like life lasting.
Melissa, I'm curious, do you still consider yourself religious at all?
No, en cuanto a religión, no. Creo que espiritual, digámoslo así. Alejado como de... Pero más la espiritualidad, ¿sabes? Entendida como rituales.
Oh.
Como estos, porque sí todos tenemos ciertos rituales. O sea, ya sea
un ritual... I would say not religious, but spiritual. Understood as maybe rituals that we all have them, like, for example, getting up and sitting by the right side of your bed and then brushing your teeth. I would say that's kind of my approach to spirituality, but religion, no, because I think it's more about the leaders rather than questioning yourself.
Más que por un pensamiento... de cuestionarse a sí mismo.
I guess we can start to wrap up. This has been about an hour, and I don't want to exhaust you, Ileana.
I have a good wrap-up question, which is, how can people here in the U.S. support your work and your art?
Uy, ya sabes, lo del apoyo es complicado.
It's complicated, but I could say also that there have been specific collectionists that have bought pieces and have taken them to the United States. There's this woman who has bought a human bone, a piece that is made out of human bone, and she has taken it to the States.
That's awesome.
I'm jealous. Brandon is definitely the sort of person who would love to have a human bone.
I would love, the human bone with the clay that you have. It's so good. It's so good. I would love to have that.
Pero aún así fue un proceso complicado porque yo estoy clara de que mis piezas son difíciles de mover. Porque son huesos, porque son restos. En ese caso con la coleccionista sí tocó ser muy honesta y decir, hay que tener estas precauciones.
But I'm pretty aware that it is a very complicated process to like move some of my pieces because of the human remains. And I have to be very clear with like the person who bought it about the precautions she had to have, about like authenticity certification, to tell her to manage the information to her discretion because of the origin of the bone. And well, maybe in the world of art, there exists like legal voids that let you do that. And I still don't get how these pieces would come from a legal background, as they usually come from a very violent context, you know, what we have been talking about. So I would say the origin of the bone has a very heavy symbolism.
How do you feel comfortable having it in a private collection, or would you prefer have it in a public, like in a public venue generally? Does it matter to you in the end?
Creo que eso también se puede manejar. O sea, yo preferiría, sí, en un mundo ideal tener.
I think that's manageable, and like ideally I would love that my pieces would be accessible to everyone where they could see it and interact with it. But in reality, I really need to pay my debts. So there's always like this kind of ambiguity to it, you know, because there's also like this idea, but also how it like complements within like this reality where I need to pay my debts.
I know that.
I guess I just have one last question. Do you have anything you're working on now? Anything big and exciting, or anything in Colombia now? I guess you mentioned the
pottery ceramics.
Yeah, but was that related to the immigration, or was that something else too?
I thought it was.
¿Cómo? Eliana?
Sorry.
So Robert, what's the question?
I'm just wondering, like what things she's working on now. I know I forgot she had mentioned the pottery, but also there was all the talk about the immigration and everything. And
okay, any okay,
big projects she's working on.
Okay.
Pues ahorita, a ver, como les decía, mis procesos están relacionados a lo que está pasando conmigo. Entonces siento que ahorita es más relacionado.
So right now, as I had told you, my processes are related to what's going on with me. And right now, there's nothing like specific, but I'm pretty interested in these experiences, like immersive experiences related to feelings and emotions.
Eso creo que viene de haberme entendido a mí como migrante. O sea, ya como una migrante consciente de que llevo, ¿qué? 4 años viviendo fuera de El Salvador. ¿Y cómo es? ¿Cómo vivir?
I think this all comes from having understand myself or understood myself as an aware migrant, that I've been almost 4 years outside El Salvador, and how that has changed my emotional and affection map. It has been like some kind of brokerage, a fundamental and very deep that moves my interiority. And that's where I would like to focus my work right now. Now that I understand myself as a privileged immigrant, even though I have no money, I have decided to immigrate, and I have also decided where to go. I mean, in El Salvador, you can do it. but it is more some kind of forced immigration towards the United States. So that's very important to me to be aware and also to acknowledge that I have been privileged to choose where and to make that decision for myself.
All right. Well, thank you for talking with us and bearing with us during this experiment.
Thank you so much.
Translation.
Thank you. Thank you both.
Yeah, of course, Ileana.
Seriously, yeah.
If anybody has anything else to say, otherwise we can wrap up.
Yeah, we can wrap
up. All right, well, thank you again. I'll stop recording.
Yeah.